Gerard Mayo, set to join us in just a few moments. I will try, while we wait, to squeeze in a bunch of angry Patriots fans who've been hanging on for a while here. Or maybe angry is not the right word. Maybe perturbed, frustrated.
I'm not mad. I'm disappointed type deal.
Yeah, maybe
I would go with demoralized.
Yeah, this is Nate. Nate, good morning. Hello. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I've been calling. I know you guys don't like this, but they should have started this way back when Brady was gone. And it's a slow process, and I get
rebuild.
Wanting to put him in there.
You're talking about a rebuild, like a full rebuild.
Yeah, and nobody, full rebuild, and they didn't want, that was taboo to say in the locker room, it's a rebuild. And look at Geno Smith, what happened to him. On his second stint, he's doing great. Sam Darnold, look at him. They put him in the fire, he's doing great in a second stint. It's the same thing. Look at Jaden Daniels, and I called about a couple weeks ago, Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury. You have to slow the process because think of it, right? You guys put him in right now, and then it's like, oh, well, you just damaged him, right? I'd rather wait a year, okay, and have multiple successful years than put this kid in, and then you're setting your franchise back for the next 2-3 years. And one more thing, Courtney, I know you brought up the whole thing about, well, they go play in New York, and that because it's got a market. They sell themselves. These guys are all about a brand now, okay? What brand are you going to have in 14-degree weather with snow on the ground, okay? You have to overpay these guys. And the thing is, you have to make up that 4% tax in the pay, and then some. And then when you finally get these guys in here, you can actually start to build something and say, well, look what we built. And it's going to take a year, maybe 2 or 3, to get those guys in here, and they start to see what's going on. And then they call their friends over, and they say, come on down. That's how it works.
Wiggy doesn't want to wait. Thank you for the call, but Wiggy wants to start right now. So.
Well, because we've been told that this was a rebuild for the last 3 years. Since Cam Newton was here, it was a rebuild. So how long does a rebuild last?
But they really didn't acknowledge it was a rebuild.
But we all knew it was.
No, Courtney's right. And you look at the Cam Newton year, right? You go 7-9.
Yep.
And what happened that offseason? Let's see. Oh, they took a quarterback at 15, and they spent $250 million. And guess what? They improved by 3 games, made the playoffs the next year.
Yeah.
If you spend, it doesn't mean you're going to hit. And Courtney's right. You will have to spend a premium to get players here because of the how the cost of living and the crappy area in which you have no real nightlife or anything. But you can do it. The Green Bay Packers get players. It's Green Bay, Wisconsin. Yeah. Not exactly a hotbed of fun.
This is Bob. This is, jeez, Aaron shot at the Cheeseheads.
I mean, I love Wisconsin, especially my boss who hails from there.
This is Bob from Buzzards Bay. What's up, Bob?
Good morning. I just want to, Wiggy, you were on this team. Check out the roster that Bill Belichick inherited in 2000. Scattered with all pros, Hall of Famers, guys we're all familiar with. And then when Belichick left, I can barely name 6 guys on the roster he left behind. And I think that's the core of the problem.
I mean, I left a pretty good defense. I mean, let's be fair.
Is Bill going to still stake claim to Ramondre Stevenson the way he did after week one? No, that's the organizational argument, and I have heard it, is that Bill left them barren. But it's not like there's some inability to go and refill and restock the organization with talent.
Well, doesn't everybody say Christian Gonzalez is good? Doesn't everybody talk about Ramondre Stevenson? Don't they say he's good? Doesn't everybody talk about Keon White and say he's good? Aren't there a lot of players on that defense? Kyle Duggar, I know he's hurt.
I mean, he's comparing that to Ty Law, Teddy Bruschi, Ted Johnson, Willie McGinnis.
Those were Bill Parcells guys.
That's what he's saying, is that Bill Belichick inherited a team with those players.
You made a clear decision to part with Matthew Judon, and you weren't going to pay that, and that's okay. But you made those decisions post-Bill Belichick.
Right, and Jalen Polk might be good. We don't know that. Like, he could be good. Baker could be good. Pop Douglas looked like he was headed in the right direction.
Yeah. This is Tony. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Listen, right on it, Wiggy. You know what? Why doesn't the coach just say we don't want this kid to get killed? I mean, if I'm Brissett, this is my last year and I'm retiring. And by the way, he won't make it through the season. We're going to see Drake May. But unfortunately, it's at the slaughter of this poor guy that's just getting whacked left and right. So I'm signing off and listening to you guys, okay? You're the best.
Yeah, well, Gerard Mayo will be here momentarily. And I hope we get some sort of an answer. And certainly I'm ready to dial in on that and find out why, if it's week five, your current quarterback appears to be struggling. And why not give it a whirl what are the reasons or the main reasons why you are not willing to do that?
And back to Curtis's point about how people are saying, and I know Greg said it too, that Bill Belichick left this team barren. It wasn't just Bill Belichick to our knowledge, because Bill told us this, that was making the decisions about this team. Elliott Wolf's been here since 2020. So if Elliott Wolf knew that he was kind of the future of being here post-Bill and taking that title over, wouldn't you think that he would want to set up his team for success?
Of course. And I feel like, why wouldn't you want, if you're Robert Kraft, you knew the rumors were out there that it was, people were split. Is it Bill who's dictating the total money spent, or is it Robert Kraft? Here was an opportunity for you, even if it wasn't reality, to spend like crazy and make people perceive that it was Bill Belichick.
You can, Wiggy would argue that they were willing to spend in the case of Brandon Ayuk.
Okay, yes.
So then
I'm going to bang my head against the wall.
So then it is where you are willing to put those resources.
Bingo.
Is a mistake, is dereliction of duty.
Greg, you do deals all the time for this radio station. You're an exceptional salesperson.
Thank you, Curtis.
Do you get credit for the deals that were close?
No.
Do you ever bring them up when you're talking about a raise?
Not really.
So then why are we giving them that now?
Yeah, when it comes
No, because right. I guess...
Who gives a damn?
But the conversation is, you believe it's about spending money. We were under the assumption that they didn't spend money. Then there was all these reports out there. They offered Brandon Ayuk the most money out there. He chose not to come here. Okay. Because of whatever reason. So it's not like they didn't try to spend money.
I'm just saying, when it comes to the excuse that Bill left this team barren and it's Bill's fault that we're so bad. All right, well, you still are owned by the Krafts, and you still have Elliott Wolf here, who they all had a say on these roster decisions for the last 4+ years. So I just think that that's such a cop-out when people say that Bill left this team barren. I think it's cop-out when you look at who is still on the staff.
Yeah, I mean, I think both can be true. I think the roster sucked, but they should have made it better, and there are many people that still work for this organization that could have had a bigger role in getting the roster to a better place in the years predating Bill's departure.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, also, the reason why I get so mad about the Ayuk thing, that was August, July. The time to build your roster is from March through the draft. Mm-hmm. And their offensive line was a... This is not like they've had this massive slate of injuries about players with players that we thought would be good.
Right.
The offensive line sucked.
You know, in addition to a legit weapon, it should have been your number one priority, your number one concern.
That's where they dropped the ball.
How do you rebuild with a quarterback if you can't protect them?
That's where I agree with you, that they dropped the ball from March to even August, that they didn't make runs at offensive linemen. Because you could have made a play for Trent Williams, who wanted a new contract. That's where I totally agree with you. What happened between March and August that you didn't, whether it was via free agency, via trades, like, you didn't do anything to make this offensive line better.
I don't see the head coach. Is he pushing it to 949? Maybe we should. I would if I were him. Should we take a break?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't gotten anything.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Gerard Mayo on a Mayo Monday here. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, he's walking in now. Never mind. I will, while the head coach of the New England Patriots walks in, I will mention that he is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts when it comes to treating the sexual health issues of men, with 5 New England offices, excuse me, and also at northeastmenshealth.com, by Land Rover of Norwood, where he buys his vehicles, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise, his choice when it comes to mayo. The head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Morning, Coach.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Long flight back, but we're here.
You watch a lot of film on the flight back?
Watch a lot of film. I was up.
did you see the same thing we saw?
Absolutely. I saw Look, I saw one phase of our game. Special teams go out there and play well, and the rest of us stunk it up. You know, we go into these games. Stop reading my – get out of here. You being nosy.
Yeah, Wiggy's looking at my – Wiggy's looking at your game.
You all over my shoulder.
Can I not – I hustle. I'm just trying to, you know, get
– You know what he's saying? You should come in here prepared.
I'm not reading it. It's like when you play cards, man.
He's just lying about it.
Your cards are looking at me, man.
Big eyes is looking at my
paper. Your cards looking at me.
You used to cheat in school, huh?
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm not cheating if it's looking at me.
You were that guy like
this. Hey, I'm like this here. You happen to have it looking at me. That's on you.
He's a cheater. and he does not come prepared, but we love him. We love him anyway.
But what I would say, like I said, special teams play well offensively, you know, and defensively, we just didn't hit our targets. And we talk about, you know, what are the targets, especially against a good team like San Fran. They're a good team. I know, you know, they're dealing with injuries, but they have good depth and they have good players on all sides of the ball. And we just didn't go out there and do it offensively. We still turned the ball over. We started slow coming out of the gates defensively. You know, we still let the quarterback outside. We still let some of those runs get outside. And you guys have heard, you know, me say it time and time again. And I use this platform and any other media platform also as a way to communicate with the players. I know they read the stuff. Look, fellas, we got to set the edge offensively. We got to protect the quarterback. And like I said, special teams did well. So I will say this, though, like, you know, in the Jets game, not to look back, you know, we were kind of flat, kind of tired. The guys, we had a good week of practice. The guys had a lot of energy going into the game, ready to go. So I don't think – I don't want to – I know the outcome wasn't what we wanted it to be, but I will say the process during the week, the guys seemed pretty locked in.
Ramondre Stevenson, fourth fumble in four games. You're talking about protecting the ball. Certainly That's something right. that, you know, you don't want to see that happen.
That's right. That's right. Look, I think, you know, as far as this team is concerned, our identity – you know, we got to be able to run the ball, and we got to be able to stop the run and play good special teams. Like, that's what we have with this team right now. We cannot go out there and expect to win games if we're going to turn the ball over. You know, you can't win until you stop, you know, stop from losing, and that's my message for the guys going forward.
When you look at Jacoby Brissett, what did you see on the pick six?
You know, there were guys that were open, a couple guys that were open. I just think it was a bad throw, and I'm not sure, you know, the protection and things like that, those always come into play, even if the quarterback's not getting touched. It was just a poor decision.
Gerard.
It was a poor throw.
We're fans of this team. I'm a fan of this team. So when I sit here and I watch the game week in and week out, and then I look at, especially at the passing offense, worse than the NFL, and I know you always talk about, hey, it's a competition. When do you get to the point where you say, okay, maybe the guy that we're going with isn't giving us what we need because statistically we're not able to get the job done, that we have to go to whoever the guy is behind him to see if he can give us a spark and maybe change things?
Look, every week, and you know, I do talk about competition, we evaluate things every single week. I think the hard part about it, look, all the fans, you guys in here, media, they want to see a top, you know, the third overall pick play. And I understand the frustration from the fans. I understand the frustration from you guys in here. What we're doing is what we think is best. What I'm doing is what I think is best for the Patriots today and also in the future. And that's how I have to look at these things. You guys look at these things as, you know, on a week-to-week basis. I think there's a combination of multiple things that I have to deal with.
We do look at that. And fans, you know, it's interesting. We did a poll this morning. Fans are right down the middle on whether they want to see Drake May this week or not. Can you give us, if there is a reason, a specific reason, or several reasons, why not this week? You know, are you worried about him getting hurt? That's an argument that is made because of the situation with this line. Are you worried about doing damage to him mentally if he gets in there?
I can't give you just one specific reason. There are a multitude of things that, multitude of factors that I take into account.
But when you have to think of the future and you look at the young guys that are on this team, doesn't it worry you that maybe Drake and these young guys won't have a season under their belt going forward? Like, there will be a learning curve after these guys work with Jacoby Brissett so closely in game action to then go to Drake May. Wouldn't you like to see them learn together and come up together for the future?
I mean, look, and that's part of the things that we talk about all the time. And I would say even Drake staying after practice, throwing with some of the young receivers, help, you know, trying to build that chemistry. has definitely been good. I think we have a good nucleus, you know, going forward. Obviously, we still have to continue to always look for ways to get the roster better. But once again, I understand your frustration. Like, whether he plays, you know, eight games, full season, like whatever it is, we came into the season with a plan, and we're going to execute that plan, knowing that we'll take our bumps and bruises along the way.
Yeah. What was that plan? Because you bring that up a lot.
No, because you guys were bringing that up a lot. Like, why isn't this? Yeah. This goes back to training camp. Like, I feel like you guys brought it up, this place in particular. You know, we sat in here and said during training camp, like, Drake's getting better, Drake's getting better, Drake's getting better. You know, and then, you know, Jacoby's out there, and it's like, well, why isn't Drake playing? Like, he's getting better. We have a plan. We're going to stick to it, even though you guys said. And once again, I'm not saying you guys.
No, it's fine.
You know,
you said he outplayed Jacoby Brissett
by the end of training camp. He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by the end of training camp, and so yeah, I understand what people saw there. But I would say from my perspective, look, he did outperform Jacoby by the time we got to the end of camp. What we had to do was go into the regular season, knowing that, look, who gives us the best chance to win right now? And so just because you're trending better in a certain way doesn't mean you outperform from a holistic standpoint, talking about the spring all the way through training camp.
Gerard, I thought, you know, from the day you were hired by Robert Kraft in that press conference, the buzzword was collaboration.
Yep.
And then this week, as they're getting ready for the San Francisco 49ers, Sunday morning, Ian Rappaport has Drake May is weeks away. Build up this week from the players and the coaches on your staff was Drake May's really wowing people in practice.
That's
He's
right.
playing great. What's the purpose? Are you on board with that messaging? Who gives that information to Ian Rappaport? It feels like we're back to the conflicting reports from last year.
Well, I'm not sure who everyone in the media, and remember, I used to work in the media too, so I'm not sure who the sources are, leaks, or where they're getting their information from. The only thing I'm concerned about are the people inside these walls. And look, once again, if the coaches go out there, I mean, the coaches went out there and said Drake has done well in practice. True. Does that mean he's ready for, you know, to start an NFL game? I mean, those are the conversations that we have as a staff, and including Ilya on there.
Speaking of collaboration, if you wanted to go out, go to do your business today and say Drake May is going to be the starter, would you be able to do that, or is it a collaborative decision with you and Elliot?
It's ultimately my decision.
It's you.
And it's me. It's 100%. And so, yeah, you can talk crap about me. I'm doing what I think is best going forward.
Yeah, I would never talk.
No,
to
it's special, fine. It's fine.
Especially to your face.
No, but it is fine. And I would say I anticipated that we're going to take our bumps and lumps, and you know, whether it's through the media, whether it's through, you know, even my own mom asking me, hey, what's going on? I'm like, mom, just
she like, wants mom, some inside info.
She wants some inside info.
Is she a gambler?
My mom is not a gambler.
Do the Crafts have a say? Does Robert come to you? Does Jonathan come to you?
Look, Thunder and Jonathan, you know, and I appreciate them, you know, throughout this entire season and process. They really leave the football decisions to Elliot and myself, so it's been good.
Gerard Mayo's our guest. One second.
Hold on, Wiggy's trying to jump in.
It's like
double dutch.
I know what he's going to go right back. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say this. I was going to say if, you know, worst came to worst, and you had to play him for whatever reason, where is your confidence level? Where is the coaching staff's confidence level? And do you guys feel like he's ready to go mentally? He'd be ready to stand in there and be physically ready to take on the bumps and bruises. Is he in that position if, God forbid, knock on wood, something were to happen to Brissett? Would you guys feel comfortable with putting him in there?
Well, that's why he's the backup quarterback. You know what I would say, he's still a rookie quarterback, and for us to now start to put all this pressure on him, like, if, you know, dealing in hypotheticals, that's what we're dealing.
Yep.
That's what we're doing. Yep. We're dealing in hypotheticals. Look, he's a rookie. He's going to take his bumps and bruises along the way as well. And so when you guys say, you know, just throw him out there, yeah, I understand that part of it, but at the same time, I mean, it's not like a knight coming in saving the world just all of a sudden. It's still going to be these conversations.
At halftime, you told the broadcast team that there were communication issues. What does that mean from your perspective?
No, just communication issues, just as far as, you know, a lot of calls have different calls within those calls. I know it sounds crazy, but based on the formation and things like that, just being able to check calls, and we just got to do a better job. Look, we had some injuries during the game as well that, you know, we always talk about the next man up, but the communication has to remain consistent, and everyone has to be on the same page.
Any update on David Andrews?
Not yet, not yet. So those guys will be here. Look, we got in this morning around 4 o'clock or something like that. They'll be in here this morning. Go ahead.
To get on a flight, though, after an injury like that or an injury-prone game where you've got three big guys who go down, that must be hard to then deal with the injury throughout the flight. But then does that hurt you when considering when to play Drake? Does that put you back a bit where you say, wait a minute, no, now we've got these veteran guys like David Andrews going down. It could hurt the protection of the quarterback.
No, you know, the thing is, once again, the development of this team, and we want to win right now in the short term, but at the same time, we have to take that in consideration. And I would say, it really doesn't play into it too much.
Kendrick Bourne traveled with the team. Yeah. Is he about ready to go?
Yeah. There you go. There's a nugget for you. There's a nugget.
Yeah. He's ready to go.
Yeah, he's about ready to go.
Okay. So maybe this week.
And I thought it was good. I thought it was good to bring him on a trip just to, you know, get back into the routine and the process of being on an away trip.
Not to go back to a bumpy moment with the birds.
Hold on. Let him read this. Go ahead. Read your advertisement.
No, no. I don't have. I'm looking at my extensive list of questions.
Right. That's actually the menu at Dunk's right now. But the team is $50 million or so under the cap right now. They have about as much cap space as any team in the NFL. Why has there not been more investment? I know that you guys working hard, but the offensive line is struggling even when healthy. It feels difficult from my perspective to see a successful rebuild if you're not able to have the foundation of the line to protect whatever quarterback's in there.
Well, I would say philosophically, Elliot and I are on the same page where we want to draft and develop. Now, it's easy to sit and say how much money you have, but if there aren't players out there that you really want on your team at that current time, you just have to wait. And this past free agency, we felt like we signed, you know, the top offensive lineman. He just happened to be on our team. And I don't want to just say, all right, we got money, let's go spend it frivolously. And I think Elliot will feel the same.
Gerard, when you look at your defense, I think a lot of us thought, myself included, coming into this season that was going to have to be the foundation of the team. Right. You're having, it seems like past couple of games, a lot of explosive plays, especially in the pass game, where I don't know if it's, like you said, communication, coverages, guys just getting beat. I guess that's the biggest question is, like, are these some of these guys running free? We saw Debo kind of run free. Is that man-to-man coverage where he just is better than the guy he's going against, or was there some issues when it comes to communication, and why is it seems like for a veteran defensive backfield that you're still kind of running into some of those communication issues?
I would say if you look at the first quarter of the season, and I don't want to offer any excuses or anything like that, but look, we have some players that are on the team that just haven't played yet. And I think the biggest frustration for me has been just in general is keeping the quarterback in the pocket in our early down pass rush, which I always talk about. It's easy to sit there and say in the back end, you know, did these guys cover or did they do this? But the marriage of rush and coverage is always important. And right now, I would say our early down pass rush has really been non-existent and something that we have to address going forward. Now, even right now, you know, with Duggar going down, there's another piece of the puzzle where, you know, we just need guys to step up. Now, well, we have some guys coming back soon, hopefully. We'll see how this week goes, but we just have to do better. We have to do better as a unit. You know, and once again, you know, I preach fundamentals and all that stuff, and, you know, I think tackling has been huge and also containing not only the run game but the pass game.
Maybe you got to get Joe Mazzulla back in those defensive meetings.
Nah, it's all good. Nah, you know, I have 100% confidence in our staff, not only defensively, but just across the board. And we just have to make sure that, you know, we turn this thing around. It's hard. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I was just going to say, as of this morning, going into Miami week, Jacoby Brissett is still your starter.
Still starter.
Okay. So do you think you guys need to add more stunts, twists, maybe free rushes?
Can I just go back real quick? Sorry. You know, when we say those things, like, all right, this guy is starting as of, like, we always, always reserve the right to do something else, no matter what the position is. And that's what, and that's how I operate. And I just, like I said, I'm always going to do what's best for the organization.
Is that more to do with Drake May's lack of preparedness than it does as a support of Jacoby Brissett's play?
Drake prepares like he's the starter every single week. And I would also say, you know, Jacoby, we can sit here and, try to say how bad that is, but once again, there's various things that show up that don't really support the quarterback anyway. And pass protection is one of those things that we just have to get better at. And I would say, look, even looking at yesterday, until the end of the game, I mean, you know, you look at Bosa at the end of the game, then he really started getting it going. But there were times yesterday where the pass protection wasn't a problem. So,
what about some chips on Bosa? Did you guys come into that with the game? Because there was a couple of his free rushes, it seems like, you know, maybe you could have sent the back over there, a tight end. Or does that – I know it takes away from the tight ends and the backs getting involved in the passing game, but was that something that you guys were thinking prior to? Was
maybe, anything worse than the offense guys trying to tell you how to play defense?
No, we just
want the chip.
We can say offensive guys, defense, the chip. He wants the chip. I got that.
Put a little barbecue sauce on the ribs.
But what I would say is, you know, there are multiple ways, and you know this. Mm-hmm. So when you ask a question like that, I just want to go like this. Like, you know this, but there are multiple ways to take a guy out of the game, especially as a defensive lineman. And look, we can sit here, and I said this last night on the, you know, when I did my presser at the end there, whether it's through scheme, getting the ball out fast, or through the chips, or running at that guy, like, there's so many different ways to handle it. And I would say, you know, he had some plays, but at the same time, not really on the sack train, but at the end of the game, he kind of took over.
The question of the week, the Hellman's Mayo question of the week. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store and add deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Gerard Gronk said over the weekend that the Chiefs get way more calls than you guys did as Patriots. Do you agree?
I don't know. I'm leaving that one alone. I'm going to
let Gronk.
I'll let Gronk. Whatever Gronk said, he's probably right.
All right. Anybody else?
Once Drake May comes in, will we know the whole plan? Or is that plan just going
to
be?
It's never free. Look, when I say transparency, it's what I allow you to see. I mean, and I am being transparent, but I'm not going to sit here and just say and give people everything.
Yeah, we don't get to know the plan until the plan has been activated.
Well, even when
is there like a giant signal is there like a signal that goes out like the bat signal, like when it's activated?
Plan executed.
Well, I was looking on the paper. Maybe it was said that plan
is not on the
paper. I would say the plan for this team won't be executed until we become a competitive team on a day after day, game after game basis. And so, we're going through transition. We're going through, like I said earlier, it's fine. We got to take our lumps along the way, but we got to get better, and we will.
Does it suck for you guys being so beat up when you don't have a bye week till week 14? Like, do you take that into consideration at all?
Oh, there's nothing we can consider there. Like, right. It's already locked in. We just need the next man up to be ready to roll.
Gerard, you talked about tackling. Is it a lot more difficult now with the whole new rules and everything to get the proper tackling drills in practice because there's so many different rules? And do you think that maybe sometimes that's why we're sloppy, is we don't have enough time to maybe practice on tackling because of the new rules? Or do you just feel like,
look, I would say all the teams are operating under the same CBA. Mm-hmm. And even back when I played, even back when you played, when tackling was, you know, every single day, you know, the beginning of the season historically has been sloppy tackling as a whole. But it's something that we just got to continue to get better at.
You catch any of that Georgia-Alabama game?
A little bit. That was crazy.
Yeah, he's riding his volunteers are pretty good.
I stopped watching, and then I wish I could have watched the whole game. But
yeah. All right, Coach. Well, thanks for taking the time.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. Thanks. That is Gerard Mayo. And the conversation with the coach brought to you by Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. We will be right back.